it goes. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. That's so it goes. That's so it goes.
That's so it goes. That's so it goes. You need some whoop 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 boing. You know?
Absolutely. That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Friday No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. We have one more hour left until it is the weekend.
Easter weekend.
Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the bottom of the hour, what are your feelings on doing an adult Easter egg hunt? And what would you put in the eggs if you were partaking in one? We also this hour are giving away Brewers tickets for tomorrow's game at 6:10 p.m. So
it's a four-pack.
It's a four-pack. So four tickets together, free, 6:10 tomorrow at American Family Field. This is on behalf of our flagship Brewers stations, WISS in Oshkosh and WRCO in Richland Center. And so we are going to be asking what your favorite Wisconsin beer is because it's National Beer Day. So keep listening for once we ask for callers for that. But think about it. Now, what is your favorite Wisconsin beer? And when you call in, you can win four tickets. But for now, we're going to get some legal advice. Because we don't know.
We're not lawyers.
We're not lawyers.
And thank goodness for that. Not everyone needs to be a lawyer in America, right?
Our guest right now is the host of Morning Cannolis on Civic Media at 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Network. He is also a former U.S. attorney. He's a practicing lawyer. And he's going to teach us the things that we don't know.
Or give a good shot at that, right?
Yes. Jim Santel, welcome back to the show.
Kristen, I'm delighted, honored to be with you once again on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Good to be with you and Jane both.
So our initial reaction, I was like, could this happen in Wisconsin? And this being what just happened in Tennessee.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and I think there's also questions of everyone this week in the light of Janet Protas say what's winning, but the supermajority in the state Senate and now their ability to impeach. So I think we got a lot of things to talk about. So let's start with in the Wisconsin legislature, could they just expel people like they did in Tennessee?
Right, right. And so I know Jane has been looking at her constitution, the Wisconsin constitution, all night long. She knows this, right?
Yeah.
And so you can just ask Jane this. But Kristen, for you and me, we had to go and take a look at it. So it turns out that Article 4, Section 8 of the Wisconsin Constitution does in fact provide some mechanisms here. What it says is that each house, meaning both the Senate and the Assembly, bicameral legislature, each house may punish for contempt and disorderly behavior. Important words to think about, right? What does that mean? And with the concurrence of, here we go, 2/3 of all members elected expel a member. Now, that's language that lawyers love, right, with all sorts of commas along the way. Basically, it means that either house, upon a vote of 2/3 of its members, could expel or impose some other discipline on a member. So it's a 2/3, really a supermajority. That's the Constitution. Stunningly, as I suspect we will talk, and Jane knows well, the Constitution doesn't say a whole lot more about it. Again, defining, okay, what does that mean? And we've got some history that we can talk about because, indeed, we've got seven people in the history of the Wisconsin legislature, our Wisconsin history here, who have been sanctioned by the House. And we can talk about those.
Sanctioned or expelled?
Well,
or is it the same thing?
Two of them have been expelled. Three of them have been, actually, the others have been censured, which adds even another word to this, right? So we've got censures, we've got reprimands, all kinds of things. And there's some differences in those. But there are seven of them all together. And you should know that the two expulsions, that is actually kicking people out, saying you cannot be here anymore, go home, you're no longer a part of our body. One of them was in 1842, okay? And that person was a fellow named James Vineyard. And what did he do? He killed somebody, okay? All right? A murder of another member of the 1842 territorial legislature. So that gets you kicked out of the Wisconsin legislature. Probably most of us could agree on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Wait. But that was in 1842.
Right.
Do you think that would still hold now, Jim? Come on.
There you go, right? We have a certain president, former president, hopefully not future president, who said if I were to shoot at somebody in Times Square and kill them, nobody would do anything about it. Yeah. And so that's your question, right, Jane? We do know, however, that if you kill, at least there's precedent. If you commit homicide, and especially you kill somebody else in the legislature, that will get you the ultimate sanction.
Which right? would feel like if you get charged and sent to jail, that also is like, buddy, you can't do your job anymore. Unless, legally, can you legislate from prison?
Isn't that a fascinating question, right? And so, again, what does the Constitution say about that? Absolutely nothing. Oh, wow. And to make your question even more outlandish, if I can, the other question, of course, is asked about Donald Trump, a certain present candidate for the presidency, who could, in fact, unlikely he's going to be tried and convicted before the 2024 election, but an awful lot of people say, well, gee, suppose we elect him again, the president of the United States of America, and one of these jurisdictions, the state of New York, state of Georgia, or even our federal government convicts him, the appeal is finalized, and he is going to prison. Can you serve as the president of the United States of America from a federal or state prison? And you know what? James Madison didn't tell us one way or the other. The obligations there, the requirements are basically age and tenure and being born here in America. Beyond that, probably you could, but boy, let's not experiment with that, right? Let's not go down that road at all. But it does raise lots of questions about what you can do from. There certainly have been people who have run for office. I think Eugene Debs ran from office from prison. So you can do it. But it would make it difficult, I would think, to sign off on legislation and certainly open grocery stores and kiss babies along the way, right?
We're talking to Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, practicing lawyer, and host of Morning Cannolis, which you can listen to on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Network. And we're answering legal questions that have popped up over the last couple weeks since he's last been on. If you have legal questions for him, 844-967-2789. Maybe not personal injury questions, but constitutional questions.
We're right here on beautiful Wisconsin Avenue. If there are any car crashes, I can't help them.
Yeah, so not on my their jurisdiction. Own. Right,
what surprises me, Jim, is that even the language that's in there is still pretty vague when they talk about issuing punishments, for people that they censure. And I would think that that would leave open the door for someone petty like me, who, if I got elected, I would want the punishment to include that the person has to, like, wash my car for the next
year.
Right,
exactly. Tag on things. And, you know, Jane, again, it is possible, given the paucity of direction in our Constitution, that a legislative body could do something like that. Again, I know you're speaking tongue-in-cheek, but it just doesn't tell us what this could be. We know, obviously, expulsion is one of the options. There are also things called censure and reprimand. Censure being the more dramatic of the two, where you actually stand up and compel you or me to stand in the well of the assembly and be told with the finger wagging that you've done something bad.
Ooh.
You know, reprimand is a little bit less significant, the same kind of thing, but basically you don't have to be there. It's kind of saying, well, Jim, you've acted badly and we don't like it. You're not expelled. But again, all of that's been kind of added on to the Constitution. That's out of tradition and the kinds of things that the Senate and the Assembly, a fundamental principle, they can set their own rules. And that's what they're doing here. And there's no legislation on this. There's no guidance. They can do what they want. Gerald Ford very famously said, and I'm not usually in the habit of quoting Gerald Ford, but I will do so today. When it comes to impeachment, for example, in the federal Constitution, was asked, well, gee, you know, what are the circumstances under which someone should be impeached? And he said, it's whatever the House of Representatives says it is, right? And so I always thought that that's a good bellwether. It affirms your point, Jane, which is there's no guidance on this. And again, to go back to our murderous legislator who is expelled, there's another one who gets expelled, believe it or not, in 1917 for refusing to withdraw some disloyal floor statements. He was saying things in connection with World War I. And so that also got him in trouble in 1917. So those two things. But along the way, somebody else was censured for bribery, extortion, corruption. There was another case involving witness tampering, another one involving bribery, unbecoming conduct, all those kinds of things. again, the sorts of things that probably would think, okay, that should warrant some sort of remedy, and they do. But then we also get this very general sense of 1941, for example, there's a seven senators who are censured for refusing to vote for a bill and walking out during the roll call. Okay, so they're not expelled. And, of course, we had some recent history with that.
It's in connection
with Act 10, absolutely. Yeah. And at that time, our state legislature didn't pass a law that talked about repeated violations of that kind of thing, never imposed any sanctions for those folks. But they can describe their rules as they want and impose them as they will. Our Constitution, Jane, to your good point, just doesn't give us a lot of direction on this. So it could happen.
So the short answer is it could happen.
It could happen.
I could force someone to wash my car for a year.
Yes, right.
You need to be elected first.
Right,
well, but you in a dominant party.
Minor right? detail, Kristen.
You would have to rally and get 2/3 of the House to agree with you that Jane's car is sufficiently dirty that it needs to be washed regularly. But 2/3 with a 2/3 majority vote, that's all it takes, and they can define it as they will.
That's wild.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And so is it something that's kind of just because it's been only seven times, and it wasn't even expulsion all
right,
seven times,
right.
that it's just not high in the toolbox as far as people thinking of it, something for it to like to use it?
Exactly right. You got to, all the sun, moon, and stars have got to align, right? And with respect to some of these more recent things, you got to believe a lot of it's politically animated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as we said, maybe a little bit tongue in cheek, murder. Well, yes, well, that's a pretty high bar, right? And you should, in fact, get expelled for doing something of that nature. These other things, you plainly have to do something that is not only going to attract the attention of at least 2/3 of the members of a particular house, but each one of them has got to say, okay, is this the basis, quite seriously? Is this the kind of thing, if someone yells at me, as they did, if someone uses a bullhorn, as they did in Tennessee, all right, that may be violating technically the decorum of the assembly or the Senate there. That may be violating the rules of propriety. Does that warrant expulsion? And that, I think, is what the Tennessee problem is all about, sort of from a legal perspective. Have you overreached here and said, okay, maybe you censure somebody. Maybe you say, you know what, we can't have you with a bullhorn in here. But we're not going to kick you out. We're not going to disenfranchise all those people who voted for you. Right now, there are two sets of constituencies in Tennessee who are not represented in the legislature because of this. That's a huge remedy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jim Santel will still be here when we come back from the break. If you have any legal questions for him, 844-967-2789. I know my legal question is, what's going on with potential impeachment in our state? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pete Meatloaf for president. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And he is Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney and current practicing lawyer, who is here to answer our legal questions about stuff that can and cannot happen in the state of Wisconsin. And so the next one that I think is on a lot of people's minds is Dylan Levine, who also just said this on the live stream on Facebook, said, I just joined, but is it possible for the Republican majority in Wisconsin to impeach Janet Protasiewicz for just having a different view on policy or judgments that got cut off? But I think that's been a lot of people's mind this week.
Right, right. Great question. Two things unpacking that wonderful inquiry. One, once again, you look to the Constitution of our state. And I know, again, Jane, once again, you're all over this,
pouring,
right?
Pouring over it,
yes. Right? Every single morning over breakfast. So Jane would tell you that the Wisconsin Constitution, again, gives the legislature the power of impeaching, here we go, all civil officers of this state for what? for corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors, okay? So that's the language in the Constitution, all right? And here's the math, again, that Kristen, you and Jane know well. So if a majority of the state assembly, a simple majority, right, 51%, 50 plus 1, if a majority of the state assembly votes in favor of impeachment, in other words, passes articles of impeachment, saying this person has done something that falls in the nature of corrupt conduct, crimes, misdemeanors, then what happens? It goes to the Senate for a trial. And if 2/3 of the members of the Senate vote in favor of conviction, an impeached official is then removed and be disqualified then from holding any office in the future. So that's the math. That's the process. It parallels almost exactly the United States Constitution that says virtually the same thing. We've seen that, regrettably, recently in our history, at least twice, if not more than, depending on how far back you go. Same kind of thing. Assembly would assemble articles of impeachment by a majority vote. And then the Senate would conduct a trial, again, as it does, it sets its own rules, how that happens, and 2/3 of the elected Senate would have to remove. So that's part of the answer to your listener's very good question. The second thing that I'm reading, and you and Jane and I were chatting about this just before the return from the break, there's one thing to say you can do it, right? Constitutionally, that's the process. Should you do it? And is that a basis upon which to do it? And to the very good question, does it strike you as appropriate or more like inappropriate for a legislature to go back and say, okay, this particular officer, a judge, a governor, an attorney general, other officers of the state have rendered judgments in their official capacity that are discretionary, that are judgment calls that you and I may or may not make. And on that basis, we're going to find that that is corrupt conduct in office. That's a crime. That's a misdemeanor. And that we can look at ourselves in the face. We can look at our constituents and say, yes, indeed, because, again, we'll identify some non-identified judge and say, because she or he made a decision in a sentencing where there is discretion to impose years of sentence of imprisonment, other things, made a decision in a civil case about what kinds of jury instructions should be given to a jury, entered a judgment in favor of one part or another based upon the evidence and the rules of law, if you will, inside courtroom procedure, that based upon that, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to find that that was so wrong in our judgment that we're going to throw you out of office. And I would offer, again, quite seriously, to the very good question was answered, that was not what the purpose of impeachment was intended to be all about, right? It's got to be, again, that word corruption. Yeah, going back to our discussion also about expulsion, right? Somebody's taking bribes. Okay, maybe that should be enough, right? Because as we said before, murder, that should be enough, right? Those are crimes, misdemeanors, those kinds of things. You go to rob a bank, yeah, probably you should no longer be a sitting Wisconsin Supreme Court justice or the governor or any other members of the cabinet. We understand that well. Judgments about budget offerings, judgments about allocations of money within your purview, within your discretion to do it, decisions about what cases to prosecute and which not to prosecute because you were elected to make those hard judgment calls, those shouldn't be the basis. And that's the concern that I think we all have right now is, okay, we've now elected a new Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. We're going to go back and we're going to nitpick through, some of which may have been in the campaign, some not, and figure out where we don't like what she has done and impeach her for that. That can't be right. And that's not what our country is all about. That's not what the state of Wisconsin is all about.
I just want to point out, Jim, that if you are so inclined, it is okay for a member of the legislature to urinate on another lawmaker's seat, and they don't expel you for that. So if that's what you're going for, maybe run in Tennessee. I don't know.
You know, we'll have to add that, Jane, to the list of things that will and will not get you into trouble, right? Where's that line drawn? My goodness, right? That's what it's come to.
Well, it's interesting that you said bribe, because we only have 2 minutes left before we have to let you go, but the Clarence Thomas question comes up
right.
Under
absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely. And once again, this goes back to what we've been talking about on this fine broadcast, other places, the obligation of our Chief Justice to impose ethics rules on the Supreme Court. And now we've got all this indication, of course, that one of them, Clarence Thomas, has been vacationing, taking trips, not just small things down the street to Baltimore, around the country, and fails to report them
around the world,
right? Every place, and no clear restrictions on that. Clearly, John Roberts has got to act, has got to, we've been talking about this long before this broke, especially with respect to Clarence Thomas and his wife, once again, making decisions on issues that she herself is advocating for. Now, she can do that, but then he shouldn't be rendering decisions about everything from the enforcement of subpoenas, production of documents, on those very issues. That's basic. That's fundamental. We have got to establish ethics rules for our United States Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. I also just love the idea of Clarence Thomas lying to John Roberts what he's doing on vacation. We're doing a staycation, buddy. Like, no big deal.
Disney World, right? Exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, Jim Santel, it's always a joy to have
it's
you here
joy.
And
it
to learn from you. We'll have to have you back soon.
Please, let's do this again very soon. Delighted and honored, as always, to be with you in good conversation.
If you liked what you just heard, listen to his show tomorrow, Morning Cannolis at 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Network. When we come back, we'll talk Easter, Easter egg hunts, and give away some Brewers tickets. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
No one, I fall for law.
With all the frills aparted, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And if you were to organize an adult Easter egg hunt,
okay,
what would you put in the eggs? 844-967-2789. I once did partake in a adult Easter egg hunt. It was very fun.
I bet.
I don't want to necessarily say on air what was in the eggs.
Okay.
But
we have a lawyer here.
It was in California, okay. So yeah, we were not able to deal with it anymore.
Right.
But I saw a video last night of, and it wasn't just like young adults. It was grandmas and aunts and uncles, and basically the garage door opens and everyone runs out, all adults with their Easter egg baskets, and they're running around the yard. And I think as they opened it, there was money inside. It looked like there was little shots of Fireball. I'm trying to think, what else fits in the egg?
I was thinking about this. What about those little skinny perfume samples?
Oh, that would be a good one.
That wouldn't be bad.
You're thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you have ideas of what would you put in an adult Easter egg hunt for, like, in the eggs, 844-967-2789. Also, if you would like to win 4 tickets to go to Saturday's Brewers game against the Cardinals at 6:10 p.m., we are giving away tickets on behalf of Civic Media's Brewers flagship stations, WISS 98.3 FM and 1100 AM in Oshkosh, and WRCO 1450 AM and 107.7 FM in Richland Center. We're doing this all season.
Yes.
So sometimes it's 2 tickets, sometimes it's 4 tickets.
And Fancy Brian and Luke Mathers were there, and they said these are good seats.
Yeah. So the question's going to be, at either the end of this segment or the beginning of next segment, so you got to listen for the rest of the show if you want to win these, the first caller to call in and tell us what their favorite Wisconsin-made beer is.
Must be Wisconsin-made.
Must be Wisconsin-made, because this is National Beer Day. You will win 4 tickets to tomorrow night's game at 6:10 p.m. American Family Field. The high is going to be 55 degrees.
Nice.
Starts to feel like spring.
Yeah.
Right now it's 40. So it's 15 degrees higher than it is right now. So it'll be some good tailgating in the afternoon. Did we win last night? No. Tonight's the first game against the Cardinals.
I believe so.
Yesterday we gave the tickets to Tony. Congratulations, Tony, who's coming to the game tonight. So I don't think there was a game last night.
All right. She answered her own question.
This is the problem. My problem with the Brewers and baseball in general is there's a lot of games.
There's 927 games.
There's a lot of games. There's a lot of games. Even the NBA schedule sometimes feels like, oh, yeah, they played again. I don't, you know. But now the end of the season is here for the NBA. We got a first seed for the Bucks going into the playoffs, which is very exciting. And so now the NBA gets a lot more exciting. Not that it's not always kind of exciting, and especially when you're good, especially when the Bucks are good, it's fun. But now, you know, the stakes are higher. So it is
gearing up.
It is fun to play. So we were just, you know, on this Good Friday asking, what would you put in an adult Easter egg? But also, what are some of your favorite Easter traditions? Either ones that you remember doing as a kid that maybe you're still doing with your kids, or just traditions in general? Because I had alluded yesterday, my mom was always big on creative spots to hide the Easter basket.
Your mother is a holiday rock star.
Queen of theme. So, and I think both were always the two that I remember were both for my brother. Because on Valentine's Day, she would do like a little, like, not scavenger hunt. What's it called when you leave clues? Treasure hunt. So, and then we'd get like a little Valentine's gift, but there was no clues.
Wait, the Easter basket.
Easter basket, no clues.
Okay.
You just had to search the house. And, you know, it was typically because we'd go to Easter Sunday Mass. And so we'd wake up. And when we'd go to brunch, she wouldn't make brunch. We'd go to brunch. But if I'm remembering this correctly, we'd wake up. We'd look for our baskets. We'd get ready for Mass. And then we'd go to brunch. And two different times, I distinctly remember my brother getting so frustrated that he couldn't find his basket. But we were also going to be late for church.
Uh-oh.
So my mom had to finally tell him. If you had to guess two of the hardest places, they were never outside. It was always somewhere in the house.
Never, not the garage.
Well, one was technically in the garage.
Ah.
But where specifically in the garage?
In the chest freezer.
In the car.
Oh.
So one was like sitting on the passenger car. So eventually he would have figured it out because we had to go to church. And I'm pretty sure the other one, and I might be remembering this wrong. Maybe mine was hidden in there, but I have this distinct memory of my brother being very frustrated. Do you have a guess of where the other one would have been that is?
In the house?
In the house, damn near impossible to find.
The thing that comes to mind is an air duct, which would really be unkind.
No, it was an air duct. It was the dryer.
Oh, that's a classic. That is a classic Easter basket hiding place.
Yeah, it was the dryer. And I'm trying to think if I forgot any other ones that were. I had a little, we had an addition done to our house. And so in our basement, part of the addition, there was like this little crawl space that they created for some of the air ducts. And I was the only one small enough to get in there. So I created like my Barbie dreamland.
Oh.
And it was mostly just like blankets on the floor because it was not refinished. So it was just like gravel everywhere still. But I was like, I can fit in here and I can never have to clean up any of my toys and just leave everything there. So I had all of my, I had a couple Barbie houses, but then a lot of them were just made out of boxes and like all the stuff and set up there. I'm pretty sure one year she put it in there, hidden away. I'm trying to think. I'd have to ask her some of the other creative spots she came up with.
What were some of the best places your parents hid your baskets? 844-967-2789. I'm also curious if people got a gift in addition to the basket.
Isn't the gift the basket?
Well, because I think nowadays there's more stuff than comes along with than just candy. And I know for us, it seemed, from what I can remember, we always got a kite.
So you had multiple kites. Every year you got a kite?
Well, they didn't know it was last long.
That's true.
You crash it into a tree once and you're pretty much done.
Yeah, a kite's good. I'm trying to think if... We always had like little gifts, I think, that went along with it. I don't think we ever got a big gift. I was never big on kites. I feel like that's always one of those things that I watched enough Mary Poppins that I wanted to fly more kites. But then the few times we'd ever go out and actually try to fly them... The wind wouldn't be good enough, and you just weren't very good at it. And so pretty quickly, it was like, all right, let's go do something else. But here's an interesting thing I saw. So I think egg prices are coming down, but still high, I think, in some places. So the potato industry is looking to scramble up Easter traditions with a budget-friendly alternative, Easter potatoes. And if you could imagine, I actually feel like an Easter, a potato might be, it's not as pretty as decorating an Easter egg, but like, I can see it. I can see why someone would want to go there. So potato producers are taking advantage of the fact that the price of eggs was up 55% in February compared to the year earlier, while potato prices only increased 13.5% year over year. And so the idea of painting or dyeing spuds this Easter started circulating in January as memes about high egg prices. And there was one meme that said, due to egg prices on the rise, children will have to hunt potatoes this year. Or dyeing Easter eggs is so 2022. In 2023, we paint Easter potatoes. Yeah, I think it's safe to just go ahead and cancel this year's Easter egg hunt, one meme said with a photo of high egg prices. And so I don't know if people are actually doing this versus joking about it, but they're at least the potato industry is saying, you know, we're on board to become some Easter potatoes instead of Easter eggs. And I wonder what kind of paint. Because I imagine the watercolor paint does not really, and like the what you use for Easter eggs, I don't think works as well on a potato as it would on an egg.
I wouldn't think so. But speaking of those watercolor paints, that was another gift that I got.
For the eggs?
Well, in addition to the Easter basket, there might be a coloring book in there with some of those really bad watercolor paints. And yeah, and some really bad brushes.
Okay.
Am I the only one? Maybe I was just, as my brothers and sisters have always told me, because I'm the youngest of six, I was so spoiled.
No, we got gifts, but I'm trying to think. Maybe I was spoiled because I can't, there was none that stuck out.
There were just so many gifts.
No, I'm just trying to think of like, you know, we always, it was always certainly full of candy, like themed candy from the Walgreens holiday themed aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there would be little gifts in there, like either like a little piece of like jewelry or something like that. But it wasn't like, it certainly wasn't the same thing every year. It wasn't like, oh, we always got a kite.
Pretty much. I remember a lot of kites.
But yeah, so I thought that was funny. But I do think eggs are coming down.
The price of eggs?
The price of eggs are coming down, right? I was just talking about how there was a lot of jokes going around that instead of Easter eggs, there's going to be Easter potatoes. Because eggs are so expensive. And so, but I read that in like a year, you know, it's been because of bird flu, inflation, high demand.
Gouging.
And that eggs are finally, they're 60% cheaper than they were in December.
Well, I want to say, I mean, egg producers, their profits increased by like 700%.
Really?
Yeah. Through all of this. So they're sitting on some big golden eggs right now.
Oh man. But last year Wisconsin fared pretty well and commercial producers only reported 11 cases of avian flu. So at least in Wisconsin it looks like we could be better and things could stay low. But here's a fun piece of trivia, which seems, I don't think I fall under the average person at all. But what would you say the average person, how many eggs per year do you think the average person consumes?
Boy, because, I mean, eggs are in cakes and other things.
Yeah.
So how many, are we talking the average person in a year?
Which, and I don't even know how they measure this.
Let's say 250.
You're pretty close. 277.
No kidding.
Oh.
That's a lot of eggs.
That's a lot of eggs, right? I mean, I guess it's not one per day, but it's close.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I have, I don't think I eat that many eggs in a year.
I mean, you have two scrambled in the morning, and if you do that every day.
I'm not enough of a big breakfast person to think that that is, but who knows? I just replace it with Skittles.
which nutritionally is almost exactly
totally the
same. Totally
the same.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
Totally the same.
Completely.
The protein levels.
So close.
Indistinguishable.
Yes, absolutely.
all right. Well, we would love to hear any of your Easter traditions or anything you're, you know, you remember from your Easter egg baskets or what you would put in an adult Easter egg hunt. 844-967. But it is also time for the Brewers giveaway. So 4 tickets, 6 p.m., 6:10 p.m. on the dot. American Family Field, Brewers are playing the Cardinals. This is on behalf of Civic Media's Brewers flagship stations, WISS in Oshkosh and WRCO in Richland Center. So we're going to take a break. Jane's going to take your calls on any of it, whether it's Easter, the Brewers tickets. Just tell her which. You could do both. If you want to tell us your Easter thing and tell us what your favorite Wisconsin beer is because you want to win those Brewers tickets. We're just going to pack full of calls for the last 10 minutes of the show before we hand it off to Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show. So give us a call, 844-967-2789 for those tickets. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rose of gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin is our last segment of this week. We're marching towards the weekend, Easter weekend. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. And to round out the show, we are giving away Brewers tickets, but you got to tell us what your favorite Wisconsin beer is because it is National Beer Day.
Big day to celebrate. We have Don from Waukesha on the phone. Don, thanks for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Congratulations. Provided you have a favorite Wisconsin beer. Hello, Don. Hello, Don.
Hello, are you talking to me right now?
Yes. We're talking to you right now.
We are talking to you right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just doing playing it back. I'm sorry. Spotted Cow, New Glarus.
Spotted Cow, New Glarus.
Well,
good
done.
Answer. That is many people's favorite Wisconsin beer, largely because you can only get it in Wisconsin.
I mean, don't people do runs, beer runs for Spotted Cow because it is such a beer delicacy?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people when they touch down in Wisconsin, that's the first thing they order because they can't wait to have one. So Don, 4 tickets tomorrow night. Are you in the area? Where do you live? You live in Waukesha, right?
In Waukesha, right.
Nice. Right. All right. Well, that should be, have you gone to any games so far this season or is it going to be your first one?
This will be our first one of the year.
Very fun. Well, I hope you have a great time. Feel free to tag Civic Media in any social media pictures that you post because we will definitely share them. But thanks for calling and thanks for listening. And I hope you have a great time at the game.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All
right. Thanks a lot, Don.
Thanks, Don.
We're going to do this all summer, by the way.
Yeah. So if you didn't win today.
Yeah, we're going to have tickets because we did have a bunch of callers. And so we are going to do this all summer long. You'll have many, many, many more chances to win tickets to see the crew.
I'm trying to think of what my favorite. I like Carbon Fours beers. I like Fantasy Factory because it has a crazy cat riding a unicorn on it. One of the best beer cans.
Okay, so we're not, but it's not about it. Isn't it about how it tastes?
It also tastes good.
Okay.
But a funny story, kind of funny, about Spotted Cow and how far people will go to get Spotted Cow. So my brother had a friend that had a Wisconsin bar in New York, in Manhattan. I think it was on the Upper East Side. And it was like a Badger bar. And so he would play. It was a sports bar. So they'd play all the Badger games. They'd play the Packer games. And I don't know if he really knew how much he was breaking the law by doing this, but he certainly found out. So he did a run, because obviously you can only buy Spotted Cow in Wisconsin. And so he did a run where he took a truck. Like, I think he just rented a truck or a U-Haul or something like that and bought as much Spotted Cow as he could while he was in Wisconsin and then drove it back to his bar in Manhattan And that was one of the like unique aspects of going to this bar, is that they were the only bar outside of Wisconsin that served Spotted Cow, but they were not legally sanctioned to do that.
Oh no.
And so I feel like I might, if my brother's listening to this, he might correct me, but I feel like they got like a $500,000 fine.
Youch.
Yeah. And so I forgot how the story actually ended as far as if they played the whole thing or if they pleaded and so it got lessened, but he certainly learned his lesson that you cannot traffic beer state to state.
And what's a worse business idea than doing something illegal and breaking a law and then giving it all to a bunch of people who are drinking?
I know.
This just, I know you're not going to tell anybody, right, guys? We're not supposed to do this. I trust you.
Like, you're promoting, you're literally promoting your, like, your illegal act in order to get people to come to your bar.
Yeah.
Like, it was not well thought out.
There were flaws in the plan.
There were flaws in the plan. Yeah. But, so, separately, did I tell you about this new powdered beer?
Oh, that sounds awful.
It sounds awful.
Oh.
So, just add water and get beer. I'm saying this because it's National Beer Day and this feels like blasphemy. But German brewery, Klosterbrau, I don't know how to pronounce that, says it's created the world's first powdered beer, and you can watch it dissolve into a lager complete with foam. But it's more than a party trick. The brewer says powdered beer will make shipping both cheaper and more environmentally friendly, since water counts for most of beer's weight. For now, the powdered brew is more of a competitor to O'Doul's than anything else, since it's non-alcoholic. But the brewery is confident it'll eventually be able to roll out a boozy version.
That is never going to fly with beer pure.
Well, I also purists. Just know how, like, having gone to, you know, Old World Wisconsin last year, their brewery experience, which I still, it's going to come back soon now that the weather's getting better. But I highly recommend doing it. And certainly the beer that you make in that experience is not the beer you're used to drinking now, but it's still it's the main ingredients,
right?
And the process, and there's boiling, and there's cooling, and there's yeast and rising. Like, there is a process to it that I don't know much about it, but I have to imagine it cannot be as simple as like airborne pouring into a glass of water, and all of a sudden it tastes like a beer.
Well, there's going to be a lot of questions around this. 262 checking in. At 844-967-2789, taking calls about your favorite beers, also your texts. 262 says, my favorite beer is Miller High Life, the champagne of beers.
I do like Miller High Life.
Do you?
I do. And I know it's not technically a light beer, but to me, compared to IPAs, it tastes like a light beer.
I bet it does.
But as far as like that, that's my go-to cheaper light beer to order at a bar. If I'm not going to order some kind of like craft beer.
That will cost you $15.
There's no beer that costs you $15 in Wisconsin. What beer have you ever, you don't even drink that much beer. How do you know this?
At the ballparks?
Oh, okay. Yes. At Fiserv and AmFam, maybe. I'm talking about like at a bar.
Oh, all right. And no, I don't drink beer. I don't know how much beer costs.
All right. Well, this has been a very good week of shows. This has been a good week. In general, at least in my book.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Yeah, this was a great, like, was so much fun to have so many people call this week, so many people text in. As always, email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us with topic ideas, guest ideas. We want to hear from you. We want to make this your show as much as our show, and we couldn't do it without you. So stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. And have a great, safe holiday weekend. And we will be back on Monday when we will do As Goes Wisconsin again. All right. Thanks so much.
As long as I still never broke my heart. Like diamond rings and football teams are torn. Never broke.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.